Go with me to Ephesians, please, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6. We've been for a number of months now talking about prayer. And I think the Lord's already dealing with me about the next series. So we'll see. But I've had to rename the series as we went, because I found out more about it as we went. But you know, isn't that true with all of us every day? Yes. You're increasing light, yes. Learning, growing. And we were on a series for a while we called Teach Us to Pray. And if you weren't with us, do you recommend the folks that weren't with us to get it? Go online. Faithlife.org is the new faithlife.org. And the whole series is there, video or audio. No charge, no cost, no commitment. Just take some time for you to do it. But do you think it'll be worth their time? The Lord's helped us, stirred us up. We're doing more praying than we have been, and better praying. And we're seeing results. One of the things that we learn that teach us to pray is a quote from when the disciples asked the Lord. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the first thing he did was teach them how not to pray. Several things he told them, don't do this, don't do this, don't pray like this. And so sometimes people get reverenced just mentioning the word prayer, but there's a lot of prayer that's no good. There's a lot of prayer, God, he can't answer it. I mean, it's ignoring what he said. It's contrary to the way he does things. And so he's not going to adapt to you. We got to adapt to him, right? How many think we got to do it his way?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what if you don't know what his way is? We're at a big disadvantage. So, but we're on that for a while, and then we started another one. We thought we called it All Kinds of Prayer, but it wasn't All Kinds of Prayer. It was praying in the Spirit. And so finally, last week, we did a third series. We're calling it All Kinds of Prayer. So we'll see. Ephesians 6, are you there? Ephesians 6 and 18. Our text says, praying always with all prayer and supplication ekonorik. Ishti velede ekensnalek ajamonori. Hear and keep an ear that hears. For today will come revelation that will spare from judgment and destruction. Hallelujah. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and all and supplication for all saints. Last week we talked about supplication, the prayer of supplication, what it is. Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, he said, I exhort therefore, first of all, 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So here in 1 Timothy, and that's why, you know, this is one of our mainstay prayers for prayer night, is we're doing what the Lord told us to do, because the next verse he says, you pray for kings and for those that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Yes. Well, if we don't pray, will we have it anyway? No. Why would the Lord tell us to pray if it's not going to make any difference whether we do or whether we don't? It matters. Yes. And like we spent some time last week talking about, things can be changed. Yes. Everything is not set in stone. We saw a situation last week, right, with Hezekiah, right. Where God said, not a man, God said, this is going to happen. Get ready for it. But the man prayed and sought God and supplicated, and the Lord said, okay, that won't happen. Whoo! You're going to live another 15 years. Is this big or is this big? Did God change?
No.
He doesn't change. What happened? The man changed. But when the man changed through the prayer, the situation changed. And God could do what he wanted to do all the time for him. But it wasn't just based up to God's will. It was based up to our will too. We talked about supplication. But I want to go on today to talk about the prayer of intercession. Prayer of intercession. Now, the prayer of intercession in our circles and has been used loosely. And people call a number of things intercession that's really not intercession. And so if I say something that doesn't sound quite right to you, don't just cast it aside. You know, like we said, people make the statement, well, prayer is prayer, isn't it? Yeah, and sports is sports. But you don't play baseball with basketball rules, right? They're different kinds of prayer. Yeah, it's all prayer, but it's not the same kind of prayer. And it doesn't operate exactly the same way. So we talked about the prayer of supplication, which was not a prayer like the prayer of faith to receive something. Mark 11:24 is the prayer of faith. When you pray, believe that you receive them. Or that word's also translated take. Believe that you take it and you shall have it. Well, the prayer of supplication is not believing that you take something. It's asking for a favor, not based on what has been bought and paid for and given to you. Are y'all with me? And yet, certainly, there'll be some faith in praying the prayer of supplication. If you didn't have faith in God, you wouldn't be praying to start with. And so we don't separate these too much. We're separating them to define them. But oftentimes, you might have four different kinds of prayer in the same hour with God. You understand what I'm saying? And you're not stopping and going, okay, I'm finished with that kind of praying. Now I'm going to do this. No, you're just talking with God and communing with Him. This is for teaching purposes that we are separating them and defining them. Well, the word intercession. Go to Job, or excuse me, don't go there, but put it on the screen. That'll save you some time. Job 36:32. The word intercede literally means to impinge. To impinge. Now, what does that mean? I think a way we would understand it is to come between. To come between. In fact, right here in Job it said, with clouds he covers the light, commands it not to shine by the cloud that comes betwixt. That betwixt is the word intercession. It's the same word translated intercession in the Bible, King James Bible. And here they translated it come between. And it's a perfect picture of it, because have you ever been outside on a hot summer day and all at once the light wasn't quite as bright and the temperature dropped about 5+ degrees and yet a cloud had come? Is that right? A cloud had come between you and the hot sun. That cloud is interceding for you. Between you, between the sun and you. And because of this, you might understand, you cannot intercede for yourself. Like I said, you may have to listen a little bit. Certainly you can pray for yourself, and you need to. You can supplicate for yourself. But what is intercession? Coming between two parties. Well, if you come between two parties, how many parties are there now? Three. Well, can you intercede between you and God on your own behalf? Do you see what I'm saying? No. So, specifically speaking, that's why I started off by saying we use the word intercession too loosely in our groups, and sometimes call a whole prayer meeting intercessory prayer. Well, intercessory prayer is not the only kind of praying we should be doing. And it's a specific situation where you would be intervening in between God and somebody else to plead on their behalf. You're coming between God and them. So can you see why you couldn't do that for yourself? And you know, if you need to think about it, I understand. But that's why I said, you know, you might do five different kinds of praying in an hour prayer with God. We're dividing them to define them. Go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. So much to talk about this, but I'll just, instead of going to all the scriptures, you go to Jeremiah, I'll just summarize a little bit. When Abraham talked to the Lord, when the Lord came to visit him and told him that Sarah was going to have a child, and Abraham was very hospitable, and they prepared food, and then when the Lord and the angels of the Lord got ready to go, Abraham was walking with them as they were leaving, and the Lord said to Abraham, "Shall I hide from basically my friend what's about to happen?" And he told him about Sodom, that it was about to be judged. And why would he even, if he hadn't have told him, he wouldn't have known. Right? Why did he tell him? He wanted him to intercede. Come on, can you see this? Put up 2 Peter 3:9. And this might be something you want to commit to your remembrance. Say it out loud, 2 Peter 3:9. Say it again. Say it again. One more time. Where's this at? Now notice what I'm talking about. And you'll see why I did that. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And he was talking about that there were some people saying, look, things have been going the same for thousands of years. You know, there's no Lord coming. There's none of that. And he's saying, no, the Lord's not slack, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering toward us. He's patient, not willing that any should perish. This is a huge revelation about the character of God. And that's why I said it'd be good if you knew it. If you're ever talking to somebody, you say, hey, take a look at 2 Peter 3:9. What do you mean? If somebody's trying to tell you that it might be God's will for that person to be destroyed. Yeah, but they've been so mean and they've been so ugly. It is never. It is never God's perfect will for people to be destroyed. Ever. Human beings I'm talking about. Never. Do you believe the Bible?
I do.
Well, then what's his will? See the word willing? God is what? Not willing that any should perish. That word perish is like the word that's used about going to hell. Perishing in hell. And it's also perishing in any kind of destruction. It's never God's will for people to go to hell. Now, I know some people want to argue about it, but that's why I'm talking about it with emphasis. It's never God's will for people to perish in accidents or in storms or with disease or with starving to death or with poverty or what people call acts of nature that some people wrongly call acts of God. That's because of the curse and sin. What's God's will? For everybody. All the time. How do you avoid being destroyed? Read the next phrase. But that all should come to repentance. The enemy will try to sway you and cloud your mind about repentance like it's some kind of negative thing. But repentance, my brother, sister, is a gift. It is the way out of being destroyed. It's a gift. But he will not make you take the gift. You can refuse the gift. And it would be the biggest mistake of your life. There are people right now, there are billions of people on the planet, and people alive have an opportunity to hear the truth and repent and admit that they have been sinful, they have been rebellious, they need a Savior and receive Him and be saved. But if you won't, if you're stubborn and you refuse and you rebel, God will not make you. He will not force you. He will not. But if you don't, it'll be the worst mistake you ever made. And so this, what I'm talking about, goes hand in hand with intercession. What is intercession about? What you'll see over and over again is that intercession occurred when judgment was pending. Judgment, you know, that's why I said we use the word too loosely. If you say, you know, Brother Keith, man, I was interceding for you last night. Hold on. They see, you may not mean to, but you just implied I hadn't been listening to God. He's been dealing with me, and he's given me, you know, 95 opportunities, and I'm just being hard-headed and stubborn, and you had to try to step in on my behalf and ask God to have mercy on me and give me some more time to repent. Now, if I need it, I hope you will. But you see what I'm saying? We're calling some things intercession that's actually not intercession. The Spirit of God might have moved on you, and you might have prayed in the Spirit like a house of fire, and you might have made a petition, and you might have loosed and bound, and you might have supplicated, but you didn't intercede. Can you see what I'm saying? That specifically speaking wasn't intercession. Y'all are having to think, right? I get it. Let me read this to you from the Complete Jewish Bible, 2 Peter 3:9. Say it again, 2 Peter 3:9. What does it say? God is not willing that any, how many is any? What about people's blaspheming God and worshiping false gods and killing Christians and all that? I mean, God wants to destroy them. No, he wants them to repent. I said he wants them to repent. Now, if they won't repent, they could wind up being destroyed. But what he wants, his will. Do you remember Paul, the apostle? Before he was Paul, he was Saul. Enemy of the church. Is that right? Dragging people out and taking them to prison and helping stone Christians. And I mean, you would think a guy like, you know, you'd want to pray, God, get him, kill him, kill him. But no, God makes him an apostle. Writes a bunch of the New Testament. See, if God has his way, the story turns out good. If God has his way, it's a happy ending. Instead of going to hell, you help build the church. Sometimes people that were absolutely mean and cruel and totally dedicated to evil, well, they're just as dedicated to good and even more dedicated to good when they get saved. They're just full commitment people. They're all in whatever they're doing. Well, the Lord said he didn't like lukewarm, so. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some people think of slowness. On the contrary, he is patient with you. And the whole church said,
amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Really. Thank you. For it is not his purpose that anyone should be destroyed, but that everyone should turn from his sins. So do not accept that God, for some mysterious, unknown reason, it's his plan and purpose and will for somebody to be destroyed. No. If somebody's being destroyed, that is not God's perfect will. No matter how they got there, what's his will? That they repent. Oh, somebody say repent. That they repent. And if they'll repent, then he can spare them from judgment. Right? The worst thing that could ever happen to you or me on the earth, do you know what it is? The worst thing, I know it's a big statement, but it's true. The worst thing that could possibly happen to you or me, it's not dying. It's not having crimes committed against you. It's not lack. It's not sickness. It's not any of these things. You know what it is? God can fix any of those things I mentioned. Is that right? I mean, he can heal you. He can help get your bills paid. He can give you peace of mind. He can raise you from the dead. Is that right? Anything you might talk, he can fix. Except this. You won't repent. You won't repent. Stubbornness, defiance, refusal. That is the worst thing that could ever happen to you or me. Because that'll put you in a place where God himself can't help you. That's the worst place you could ever be. He has the power to help you, but he'd have to override your will to do it. And he's not going to do that. So, the thing we should be armed with is to be quick to believe God.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Quick to obey God.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
And when we see we have messed up, help me with the rest of it. Huh? When? When? Well, I don't know. I might have messed up, but you know, they wouldn't help me. And this couldn't help. Yeah, that's how you stay stuck and get no help and can't get out. No, when you see you've messed up, be honest. Admit it. Humble yourself. Don't wait. Don't run from God. Run to God. Right? Why am I talking about this? Because intercession comes in when somebody is being stubborn and not listening and not complying and they're about to be judged. They're about to be destroyed. But somebody that loves them says, hold on, God, hold on. Hold on. Hmm? And it's not like you're trying to talk God out of something he wants to do. He does not want them destroyed. But he is the righteous judge of all the earth. Hmm? He's not going to pervert justice for anybody. But he has a right to do some things, even though they don't deserve it, if somebody that trusts him and knows him will ask him. Oh, come on, are y'all with me? Oh, God, don't, you know, spare them. I know they don't deserve it. I know. But Lord, have mercy. Give them another opportunity. Give them more space to repent. spare them. That's you talking to God on their behalf.
Yes.
That's intercession.
Yes.
And you don't just do that off the top of your head. You have to be led. Jeremiah 7. Boy, this is a big topic, isn't it?
Yes.
Jeremiah 7 and 16. Jeremiah 7:16. Now, this whole book of Jeremiah deals with this because judgment is pending. Didn't the scripture say the wages of sin is what?
Death.
And that's what's going to happen unless there's some change. But if there's repentance, even though you sowed it, you don't reap what you sowed. Jesus reaped it for you. If you repent. Somebody say if. If you repent. If you repent. Here, the Lord tells Jeremiah, who's a prophet, who's praying for his people, Judah and Israel. And you'll find that the ministry of the prophet and intercession go together. And that should be obvious because prophets are seers, and the Lord will show them things. Well, then they might be the first to know this is going to happen. And so then they are in the opportunity to pray about it and to intercede. And you'll see that with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. You saw it with Moses. You saw it, I mean, the list goes on, interceding by these men and women who knew God well and personally and close, and they became aware. Just like what we said, Abraham was just walking with them as they're leaving. He didn't know Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed. But because he didn't just say, see y'all later. No, he's close to God, and so he wants to stay with them a little bit longer. And, you know, that's an interesting thing. How many times if you'd have prayed a little bit longer, you might have found out something else, you know. But while he's walking with him, the Lord says to him, shall I hide basically from my friend what's about to happen? And gave him so now he knows something's about to happen. So he's an opportunity in position, I should say, to intercede. But here, Jeremiah's trying to pray for his people. And he said, don't pray for this people. Don't lift up your cry or pray for them. Don't make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. God says, uh-uh. Quit talking to me about them. And don't try to intercede to me for them. Well, this is his people. This is his nation, his country. And the Lord has shown him that they're about to be invaded by enemy forces and destroyed. The temple is about to be robbed and cleaned out and destroyed. I mean, the nation's about to be destroyed. Is that God's will?
No.
Never. Well, then, what's this about? Shouldn't we pray? On this occasion, the Lord said no. Now, you can't just write rules and try to go by them. We have a personal relationship with God.
Yes.
Right? You got to talk to him and you got to listen.
Yes.
Right? You can ask him things, and there are times he may say, I'll do it. Just because you asked me to. He said that to Moses more than once. Okay. I'll do it. But then here he says, don't ask me. Why would that be so? Go to the 8th chapter and the 4th verse. 8:4. He said, you say to them, thus says the Lord, shall they fall and not rise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit and they what?
Refuse.
They what? They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, But they spake not aright, and no man did what? Nobody, he said, in this place will repent of the wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse rushes into battle, and in this case, to be slaughtered. Wow. He said, nobody will repent. Nobody will listen. And that's why he's telling Jeremiah, don't pray about it. Well, see, only he would know that. Only he would know whether they will or whether they won't. And so you never assume they won't unless he tells you leave it alone. And if he tells you leave it alone, there's reasons why and reasons you don't know. But you know this, it's always his will. Always his perfect will for people to repent and not be destroyed. You don't have to pray to try to find that out. That's always God's will for everybody, everywhere. Because that's him. That's who he is. He's the merciful God. He's the good God. Now go to Jeremiah 27. Excuse me. 36 for time's sake. 36. I want to take time and read through this because it paints a perfect picture of intercession. Then it, of when to intercede and when not to, and why not to. Jeremiah 36, 1. I'm going to read a few verses, so stay with me. He said, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take you a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you from the days of Josiah even unto this day. Now, these words were not words of blessing. And it's because God's people had completely forsaken God. They're not even trying to do anything he told them to do. They're doing worshiping false gods. I mean, they're involved in human sacrifice. I mean, they are as bad and worse than any of the heathen around them. And so the Lord had shown Jeremiah and told him, destruction's coming. Judgment's coming. Destruction's coming. Now he's telling him, write it down. And so, you know, at some point, these words were written down. And so, verse 3, the Lord says, it may be, here you see his purpose now, that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do to them, that they may return every man from his evil way, and I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Oh, come on, can you see this? Why is he wanting him to write it down and go tell them and read it to them and proclaim it to them to scare them? Huh? To alienate them? No, he's saying, stop this. Let's prevent this. Yes. Right? Yeah. How can you prevent it? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Where's that at? Where's that at? 2 Peter 3:9. The reason I'm saying it is an answer to 10,000 things. And it keeps you out of confusion. Keeps you clear. And you know, people sometimes they'll read some things about judgment in the Old Testament and go, well, you know, see, God sometimes he just gets mad and wants to wipe them out. You ain't read the rest of the story. God doesn't get mad and lose his temper and lose his cool and do stuff. He's not a man. And he's always so patient. I mean, he's already put up with them doing this stuff for years and years and years and years. And at one point, he even said, you're burning my children. They were burning babies to false God. He said, those are my babies. You're burning. How long would you put up with that? If you could do something about it. At some point, it needs to be stopped. Who knows what that point is? Only him. How long do you put up with it? How long do you give people a chance to repent? And how do you know when they will never repent? Well, you don't. I don't. He does. I said, He does. That's why only He's qualified. And all these things we're saying just as true today as they were then. So Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words in the roll of the book. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, said, I'm shut up. I can't go to the house of the Lord. So you go and you read the roll that's written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people, the fasting day, and read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So this was a day when everybody's going to come together. He said, it may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and fury of the Lord has pronounced against this people. So what's he in hopes of? He knows God. That they'll hear everything that's about to happen and they'll go, what have we done? Right? And that they will fall on their face and they'll repent. And so that it won't happen. Baruch the son of Neriah did according to Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. It came to pass in the fifth year, Jehoiakim, they proclaimed the fast. All the people came. Then Baruch read the words in the chamber of Gemariah, son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, he went down to the king's house. So he heard it, and he goes to the king's house. He says to the scribes' chambers, and he tells all the princes and scribes, and he gives their names. And Micaiah told them what he had heard Baruch read. And the princes sent Jehudi and said, take that roll and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came. And he said, now sit down and read it in our ears. So he's read it publicly. And some people heard it that were part of the royal entourage. And so they went and told the scribes and the king's house. And they said, well, tell him to bring that here and read that here. So now they're going to the palace, if you will. And so sit down and read it in our ears. It came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid. And they said, we will surely tell the king these words. And they said, how did you write these words? And he said, he, talking about Jeremiah, he pronounced all these words and I wrote them with ink in the book. And the princes said to Baruch, go hide, you and Jeremiah. Don't let anybody know where you are. Because they know if the king doesn't like this thing, they could die. And so they went into the king to court. And they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe. They didn't even bring it with them the first time they went in. And the king told Jehudah, go get that roll. So they took it out of the scribe's chamber. And Jehudah read it in the ears of the king, the ears of all the princes that stood by the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. Now this is very important, every piece of this. And it came to pass that while Jehudah had read three or four leaves. Now this is not a book like we have. It's a scroll. And so as they roll out, he's reading three or four leaves. The king reached over with his knife and cut off the scroll that had been read and took it and pitched it in the fire. Until the whole roll was consumed in the fire on the earth, he burned up the whole thing. Wow. He was reading part of it, and as he's unrolling it, the king reached over and cut off the bottom of it and threw it in the fire. Then he kept reading. He cut off another part, threw it in the fire until the whole thing is in the fire burning. They were not afraid. They didn't rend their garments. Not the king, nor any of his servants that heard all the words. Now let me stop right here. Tell me what's the worst thing that could ever happen to you in this life. You're seeing it right here. Why is that the worst thing that could ever happen to you? Anything else, God can fix. Right? God can fix anything else. But if you won't repent, he's going to leave you to yourself. Yep. And that means you will be destroyed. Is it his will?
No.
2 Peter.
No.
Huh? Says what? God's not willing. It's never his will that you perish. But what's the rest of that verse? But that all should come to repentance. It's true that you don't perish in hell after this life. It's also true that you don't perish in a million different ways in this life. It covers everything. Repentance. If things are going bad and they just keep going bad, what might it be time to do? Huh? It's very likely time to repent, right? Say, Lord, show me. Help me. And mean business. Be serious. And be ready. And when he shows you, and a lot of times he'll show you something he showed you 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. He's patient. He's merciful. But if he does, what do you do? Come on, help me out. Huh? Well, I'm going to think about that. Well, and enjoy your perishing. No. Does anybody in the house know how to repent? Come on, help me out. Huh? I think sometimes about what happened when Mary and Martha, you remember that? When Martha was busy and she came in, stuck her head around the door and said, won't you tell my sister, that lazy heifer, to get in here and help me with this. And remember what the Lord said, Martha, Martha. Anytime the Lord calls your name twice like that, what do? You start kneeling. You already start kneeling. You go, oh, God. I messed up, didn't I? Yeah, I messed up. Huh? You know, who of us has arrived and never needs to be corrected? Who of us knows enough that we're never wrong? Didn't make a wrong assumption or jump to a wrong conclusion? Friend, if you go for a year and two and don't repent about something, you're wrong. You're full of pride. Something's bad wrong. It should not be like pulling teeth for you to open your mouth and say, I'm sorry. I missed it. I was wrong. I messed up. If you choke on that, that's the biggest problem you got in your life. You may think there's other things, but God can fix those other things. But he won't force you to do that against your will. Go ahead and say it out loud. Father God,
I refuse
to be stubborn and hard-headed
and hard-hearted.
Help me
to see right
and think right.
I purpose
to be quick to believe you, quick to forgive others,
quick to obey you,
and when I see I'm wrong,
quick
to humble myself
and be honest
and admit it.
Quick
to repent.
In Jesus'
name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, somebody say,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Is this important?
Is this,
this is significant.
This is so important.
The rest of this
chapter
is so important.
But I want you to notice
this word that
appears here.
Keep reading.
He cut it all
off with his
penknife,
pitched it in the
fire there beside him.
Weren't afraid,
didn't rend.
They're like,
You
know.
So sad
to be so
dense
to see how
close you are to being
totally destroyed.
And
how gracious God is
being to you
today to
offer you
time number
375
to repent
before it's
too late
and you got attitude.
Huh?
Somebody say,
by the grace of God.
Not me,
not me,
not me.
They
were not afraid.
They didn't rend their garments.
Verse 25.
Elnathan
and Deliah And Jemariah had done what? Made intercession. What does that mean? Come between. The king, that he wouldn't burn the roll. You know, when he starts burning the roll, these were some spiritual men. That's how the roll got in before the king to start with. They heard it and they thought, oh, God. That is God. God gave that to Jeremiah as a real man of God. They gave it to him. Man, we got to do something. And so when they saw him reach over there in arrogance and start tearing it and cutting it and pitching it in the fire, they went, oh, king. And they tried to intercede. He said, get out of my way. This is a picture. They're trying to stand between him and the fire. Oh, come on, y'all listening or not? They're trying to stand between him and the fire. What could save his life? Repentance. What does he need to repent for? It's in the page he's holding in his hand. The Word of God. Why did the Lord say, write it down? How did it wind up here? Oh, can you see this? He's standing between him. You know, the greatest intercessor who there ever was and ever will be is the Lord Christ, whoever lives to make intercession for us. He is the one between us and the Father. We had all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin was death. And so all that was waiting on us was judgment and hell. That's it. Until our intercessor, our advocate, came in between us and God and said, Father, no, I'll pay for it. Let it fall on me. Woo, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Let the judgment fall on me. I'll pay for it. Listen. I will give them my righteousness, my holiness. That's accepted with you, Father. Yeah, always has been. I'll give my righteousness and my holiness to them so that they can be accepted and so they will not be judged. Judge me in their place. He interceded for us. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. And when it says he ever lives to make intercession for us, that doesn't necessarily mean he's just praying all the time. Intercession's a legal term. Anytime something comes up, he is our advocate. He is he represents our defense. He represents us in the high court of heaven. And his blood is the witness on the mercy seat. The stripes on his back is the witness for our healing. He is the answer of why we're not judged. Can you say amen? Whoo! Somebody say glory to God. Take a little praise break. Lift up your hand and say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, somebody say thank you, Lord. 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 Let me read you a couple of scriptures and then we'll let you go. What's the worst thing that could ever happen to you in this earth? Stubbornness. Rebellion. Disobedience. Refuse. Now, we've all made mistakes. It's possible you could make a mistake in time to come. It's possible you could make a bad mistake. Are you done? If you make a bad mistake. Only if you won't repent. Right? Listen to this in Revelation. Revelation 2, he's talking about the prophetess he called Jezebel. In Revelation, he said, I have a few things against you, Revelation 2:20, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, eat things sacrificed to idols. Verse 21, I gave her space to repent. Could Jezebel be saved? Yeah. Listen, that old Jezebel, she can't be saved. Yes, she can. Yes, she can. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. Now, had she done some stuff or had she done some stuff? But what was her problem? Is that what caused her to be destroyed? What was her problem? She repented not. She wouldn't take the opportunity to repent. Read the next verse. So I'll cast her into a bed and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation with this caveat. Except. What? Jezebel and all her cohorts get another chance if they repent. What's he saying? She's had opportunity. She wouldn't. Judgment's coming. He said, okay, it's coming. It's happening. Unless. Yeah. Right? Yeah. This is why there's going to be some tears of joy when we get to heaven. There's going to be some folks that you thought for sure missed heaven and went to hell. Y'all are quiet. And you don't know, and I don't know, but some of them, what you don't know is in their last breath, they repented. Woo! Not everybody will, but there are some of the worst characters. And there's some, though, from their heart, in their last moments, they'd call out to God and genuinely repent and believe on Him. And you'll be in heaven and you'll come around a corner and there they are. You'll go, oh, wow. You surprised to see me, ain't you? I know. Yeah, but I'm here. Glory to God. Why? Because the mercy of the Lord endures forever. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Whoo! Glory to God. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Romans 2:4. Just put it on the screen for us. Romans 2:4. What's happening is the Spirit of God is over the whole earth trying to draw, calling to human spirits. Come. Repent. Don't be destroyed. Come. Separate yourself from those that won't repent and come to me. Be saved. Be delivered. Be healed. Be restored. Come. Come. What it is the goodness of God, the very essence of God Himself coming out. And when we preach, what are we supposed to be preaching? Good news. The good news about all the good things our good God has done for us. And when people hear that, if their heart's right at all, what will it do? They go, oh God, after the heathen I've been and all this, you still want me? Yes, here I come. Right? If you're smart. Do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Everybody say no, no. And of course, you know, 2 Peter, isn't that what he's saying? Don't think that God is not coming. Don't think the Lord's not coming. Don't think that. He's just patient. He's just merciful. He's just long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Nobody among us has done everything perfect. Nobody among us goes months and years without needing to say, I was wrong. without needing to repent. Why? Because so much we don't know. We just know in part. And maybe you were doing something ignorantly, didn't know it, and then you found out. What's it time to do? Go. I didn't realize it. Right? But repent. Acknowledge it. And that's what the scripture says, that God, peradventure, may give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Get right out of the trap. Get right off the path to destruction. Hallelujah. And head for heaven. Stand up, everybody. Stand up, everybody. Lift your hands. Lift your voice, everybody. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.